everyone. Welcome to Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name's Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today originally had plans to be a soccer player in his native UK. Then he had some drinks at a party, sang some karaoke, and his musical gifts revealed themselves. Perhaps the best thing to come of drunk karaoke in human history. He signed a record deal soon after graduating college, kickstarting a rapid ride to the top of the charts. His sophomore album, Evering Road, debuted at number one in England when it was released in March. The record takes its name from the street where he once lived with his now ex-girlfriend. Their breakup is the theme of the album, but, as he emphatically says, this is not a breakup album. There are no maudlin moments or rueful recriminations to be heard. No, instead he turns his critical eye on himself, his past mistakes, in ways that he wasn't always a good partner. Much of the music is about owning up to his failings and trying to be better. Rather than an album of bitter animosity and vengeance, Evering Road is packed with soulful songs of redemption and hope. It comes through in his album's recent single, Little Bit of Love, a song about unconditional acceptance of both himself and others. And his new song with Ella Henderson, Let's Go Home Together, suggests a happy ending. I'm so thrilled to welcome Tom Grennan.
Oh, thank you, man. Honestly, like, this is crazy for me. It is so crazy. I can't believe, like, the song is kind of working in America, and my dream is to kind of crack America. So to be able to talk to you, man, is amazing.
Taking it back a little bit, your new album, Evering Road, it's about a breakup, but it's not a breakup album. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's an anti-breakup album. You're taking this really compassionate view of your ex-partner and a really thoughtful view of yourself and your time together. Can you give me a little background on this record? Like, what went down at Evering Road?
So Evering Road was, it's based on love, heartbreak, and redemption, really. And really, for me, it was kind of holding my hands up and saying, listen, I've done some bad in this relationship, but I needed to love myself before I could love anybody else. And unfortunately, like, I hurt someone during that time. But like I say, like, I needed to find happiness in myself, and I couldn't give that to anybody else until I had that myself. So it's all about that, really. And it is a breakup album, but like you say, it's quite an uplifting breakup album. It's not kind of like, let's cry about it and feel sorry for me. It's kind of be like, listen, I've done what I've done, but at the end of the day, I'm a human being and we all make mistakes. Just don't make the same mistake twice.
I mentioned compassion earlier, and that really comes through on the song Little Bit of Love. To my ears, it's about showing love and compassion to yourself, which is one of the hardest things to do in a lot of ways. Tell me more about that song.
Yeah, so Little Bit of Love's like all about unconditional love and knowing that you deserve to be loved and deserve to feel loved as well. No matter who you are, where you're from, and what you are, it's everybody deserves it. And for me, like, when I was going through all this kind of mad time and where I was like at in my life, I moved back with my mum and dad, and it was there where like I was like, oh my gosh, like, I needed to come home and see like the unconditional love my mum and dad have for me and my brother has for me. For them that to kind of say, do you know what? Yeah, I am worthy of love. And that's what it's all about, really. And I wanted to make an uplifting record. And I feel like the time that we're in now and the world that we're living in right now, like, this really has connected with people in that way. And like, the best thing to do right now is to send a little bit of love to anywhere and anyone and just remind people that good times are coming and it's going
to
be great.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the same way that you went home to kind of reflect and reboot, I feel like so many of us have been doing that in the last year by having this time to really sit and think and reflect on ourselves and how we can be better, which I think is a really admirable thing that you're putting forward in the messages in your songs.
For sure. Like, this whole like year, do you know what I mean? Well, last year was a time I needed to kind of, I still had a lot of demons I needed to kind of work out and kind of just face up to. And this year and last year has definitely given me that time. And honestly, I've never been happier, man. And life is so good. And I wake up every morning with a smile on my face. And I'm very, very grateful. And I'm very, very thankful that like my family and have got their health and things hasn't been too bad. But
was it clear early on that this was sort of going to be the theme in a way of this album? Or did you write your songs and look back and sort of see the thread emerging through?
Well, I actually finished this record, Evering Road, before like coronavirus and stuff was a thing. So it was meant to come out last year, March. Corona then happened and I was like, this doesn't feel like the right time to put a record out because there's so much more important things to be getting on with and also like to learn about. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, do you know what? Let's hold off for a year and see where we're at. And if this record still feels like it needs to come out, then it will come out. And to be honest with you, I didn't do anything with the record at all. I finished it and parked it for a year. And it's weird because it all kind of makes sense to the relationship that I was in and Evering Road. But then it all kind of, I was like, oh my God, these songs are like making sense to what's going on now. And like I say, it's an uplifting, up-tempo kind of record. So I was like, this feels like the right time now. And I feel like people need it. And when I was listening to the record before it was out, I was like, I can picture myself being at live shows. And if I wasn't actually singing the songs, I'd be watching it and just being like, oh my God, like we are living our lives and it's great.
It must be cathartic for you to have all those, not only the feelings, but just the songs and everything out there. It must feel wonderful.
Yeah, like to be honest with you, like this relationship that I was in, like was 2 years ago. And I was afraid that, I was like, oh my God, like, will people understand the story right? Will they think that, like, I was just too much of a bit of an idiot? And, but people really, really, like, were so positive about this record. And just, that's all I wanted, man. I just wanted to make people, to think. I didn't want this album to be an album that you just put on and you kind of have in the background. Yeah, like, I wanted people to think. I wanted people to smile. I wanted people to kind of go, let's forget about the bad days and just move forward and just get on with life and just try and be a better person. And that's what it's all about. And that's what I've done. And the messages I've been getting is just, I just unreal. They're just crazy.
Is there a single track on the album that really means the most to you?
They all may mean their own little thing to me. But for me, like the most, there's a song called Love Has Different Ways to Say Goodbye. And it's the ending song. And for me, like, it's a very cinematic kind of song where you sit down, you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm watching a film. And like lyrically, like I feel like they're all my best lyrics. And I feel like musically, I don't know, it just told the story in a song, do you know what I mean? And like it ended that album so well. And it feels like a bit of a James Bond song, you know what I mean? Yeah. And when I listen to it, it kind of always makes me think, oh, do you know what? Love does have different ways to say goodbye. And sometimes like there'll be people shouting and there'll be people arguing, but sometimes there'll be people saying, listen, this is what it has to be. And sometimes people aren't meant to be together and that's all right. Do you know what I mean? That's okay. But good luck with whatever you do and whatever the other person does. Do you know what I mean?
I love the song. It hurts. It's sad, but also, it's funny how things can be both sad and uplifting at the same time. And I think you do that beautifully on that track.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, this is it. Like, the songs are really, they are like, if you like get into like the lyrics and what they're actually about, they are like deep. They are sad. They are kind of like, oh my God, I was going through a lot of crazy things and there was a lot of things going on in my head that weren't, they were dark. Do you know what I mean? But they're uplifting with the music and with like the beats and with everything. Do you know what I mean? So yeah.
It's funny. This is probably a strange question. You know how they always say that every character in your dreams are actually you, and you kind of project all these feelings and emotions and your actions onto these characters, and they work out whatever you're going through. And because it's not you, it's other people that you're seeing. It gives you perspective in a lot of ways. When you were reading back your lyrics, was that almost the case for you? Did you learn anything about yourself by singing these songs that all of a sudden you thought, oh my gosh, this is what I meant. This is what I should have done differently.
For sure. Like I learned that I was doing some really like not the right thing. And I've learned that I was going through a bad spot and I couldn't talk to people about it because I don't know. I had a lot of things. I had guilt on my soul. I had like hurt on my soul. I had like all these different things going on in my head and physically as well. Like, not just mentally, physically. And I found it hard to talk to anybody. But when I was writing my lyrics, that's where I was like, that was my therapy, I suppose. That was me saying like, I'm in a bad spot and I need some help. And that help came from me, but it also did come from like when I was showing these songs to my friends and when I was showing them songs to like my parents and my management, they were like, yo, are you good? I was like, No, not really. But I had to write these songs to understand the emotions and what kind of going through a breakup is and what kind of it is to kind of say to yourself, I need to stand up and I need to make a change and I need to admit to a few things that I'd done wrong.
I have several friends going through breakups at the moment, unfortunately. Do you have any tips for them or anyone listening right now who might be going through a tough time romantically, either emotionally, or are there any, you know, albums that you listen to or movies you watched or books you read? Do you have any advice for those folks?
For me, like, if I was speaking to a friend who's going through a breakup, so everybody who's listening, you are now a friend of mine. I would say, listen, just understand that sometimes these things happen, but to go with your heart and to tell the truth and listen to what you believe is the truth. And usually 90% of the time, you'll make the right decision. For me, I listen to, like, Amy Winehouse is the queen for me. And I feel like she understood what pain is and understood what going through these weird emotions were. And I listened to her, and she really did, like, kind of help me understand as well. So I would say just believe in yourself and you will make the right decision. And sometimes things don't seem so, like, clear at first, but when you take a step out of that situation, yeah, 9 times out of 10, you'll be leaving with a smile. And that's all you need to do is just smile, because you'll be happy.
Amen to that, to quote one of your songs. Oh, man. I mean, God, Back to Black, that I listened to that so many times when I was going through tough times. I love, did you ever see High Fidelity or read the great book that's based on? Oh, it's a movie that was based on a book by Nick Hornby. I think the book takes place in Camden, a record store in Camden. He's a guy who runs a record store. Oh, the book is amazing. I mean, as is often the case, the book is way better than the movie, but the movie's awesome too. And it's a guy who runs a record store. He's a music obsessive. He loves music, and he's going through a breakup, and him and his buddies in the record store always do top five lists, like top five greatest, you know, songs about death, top five greatest songs about, you know, whatever. And he does a top five worst breakups, and then he decides he wants to learn and grow as a person. He gets in touch with all of his ex-girlfriends to try to see where they're at now and what he did wrong and how. It's a really cool book.
What is this film called? I'm going to type it down in my notes right now so I don't forget.
It's called High Fidelity. It's amazing. And the book's by Nick Hornby. The movie is from, like, I think it's from 2000 with John Cusack. Great movie. Great, great movie.
I'm looking forward to watching that now. I need a good film to watch, man. I'm watching some crazy things recently.
Yeah, what have you been watching?
I've just finished Your Honor. Have you watched it?
No, not yet.
Oh my God. It is unbelievable. But it really, like, dives into, like, a lot of what's going on in the world and how bad, like, and how corrupt, like, police and stuff are, man. You know, so yeah, it's a good watch.
Just finished, what is it called? I think it's called Surviving Death. It's about all these people who have near-death experiences and how it's changed them. Yeah, it's amazing.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen a few of it. It's a series, right? Some of the stories are crazy.
Oh my gosh. And, like, the kids who are, like, born and are 3 or 4 years old and they have memories of living, you know, 60, 70 years ago and people's names.
I believe in that though, man. I fully believe in that kind of stuff.
Oh, totally.
If you're not ready to leave this world, man, you'll come back into, like, another soul and I believe in that. Trust.
Do you think you are? Do you have a connection with a past self?
I would say no. I think I'm quite, like, a new spirit, man. But then again, my granddad would say to me, like, sometimes, like, oh my, you've got a very old head on you. But in the sense of, like, I'm 25, but I've always been quite mature for my age. But then I am a new spirit, man, as well. Like, I'm just a bit of a, I'll go where the wind takes me, and I don't really like routine. Well, I don't really like routine. I like being here, there, and everywhere, and kind of being in the mix of everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, which has been, like, to be fair, like, actually, this whole timing in, like, lockdown and stuff like that has given me time to kind of, like, relax and kind of say, listen, you need to, this is what's been going wrong, is that you're too much, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, just take a break and kind of get in tune with what's going on in here and up here, and And I've really done that. And I've really kind of like learned a lot about myself during that lockdown period. I was like a dog with a bone. I was like, give me this, give me that, give me this. I want it now, I want it now. But now I'm like, zen it out, mate, zen it out.
Have you been writing much music during this time, or is it really more focused inward?
Since January, I was like, right, the new year's here. I feel like I'm going to start learning how to play. I don't really know how to play piano, but I've been learning how to play piano because I want to play on stage. So I've been learning a lot of that kind of stuff. And then whilst learning, it's kind of opened up a new kind of creative writing space. So I have been writing, man. I have been diving into like what's going on in my life. But the thing is, I'm happy. So I'm writing all these like happy songs, which is what, and like, it's great. And like, I'm really excited about what's next now. But to be honest with you, I just can't wait to get to America now. Like, I know that I've got a tour coming up over there soon enough, as soon as we can get into the country. And yeah, my goal is to crack America and hopefully, fingers crossed, we do that.
Oh, bring it on. Yeah, I mean, with this album, you can't go wrong. Oh, man. It's so funny because there's so many people that I talk to and they say, you know, yeah, I knew when I was a little kid that music was what I was going to do with my life. I knew it. I had this dream. I had this. And from my understanding, you came to music a little later in life.
I did, yeah. I actually played a lot of football, soccer, as you would call it. But I played a lot of football till I was like 17. And then I was going to play in America. I got offered a scholarship to go to North Carolina and play football over there. But I kind of fell out of love with it. I was like, do you know what? I don't feel like this is right for me. So then I kind of was like, do you know what? I'm gonna have my first beer. And then like going out to parties and girls got involved. And my head was like, I was like distracted and I wasn't on football anymore. I wasn't on that. I was like, give me the girls and give me the beer. And then I was at a party and there was a karaoke machine and I jumped on this karaoke machine and I was drunk at that time because I would never have the confidence to do this if I wasn't drunk. And I started singing and people were like, whoa, 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 where did that come from? And I was like, what? And then I realized that I actually loved singing and I loved just performing. So then I joined this little band in like, we call it A-levels. It was just before you go to uni. So I was in my last year of A-levels and I joined this little band and we were doing like covers and stuff like that. But I was getting the feeling for it. I was getting the bug. And then all the boys who I was in this band with were like, we're going to university. And I was like, what? You're going to university? We've got this wicked band, man. No way. Like, what are you doing? And they were like, no, we're going to go do like maths and science and stuff like that. I was like, boring. I'm not doing that. So I moved to London and because I'm from a small place called Bedford, which is about an hour away from London. I moved to London and I actually went to university to study acting. So I did acting for 3 years. But in them 3 years, in my first year of uni, I learned how to play guitar. I literally hibernated for a year in my room, learned how to play guitar. And I wrote like five or six songs where I was like, okay, cool. These songs I feel like are quite good. And like, I was playing them in my room to like people who would come and visit and stuff like that. They were like, these are good, man. So I was like, right, cool. This is the time I need to now go and gig. So I picked up my guitar, went around the whole of London, and I was like playing like open mic nights and I was playing little kind of venues, anywhere I could get a gig, really. I was busking. I was like on the streets just doing like these six songs because I actually didn't like to learn other people's songs because I couldn't play them. The only way I could play a guitar was the chords that I learned to play my song. So I was at these places, I just kept playing these six songs or whatever. And in my third year of uni, I was at a pub in a place called Finsbury Park. And there's a pub called Finsbury. And I was in there and some guys from a record label were in there having a drink. And they were like, are these your songs? And I was like, yeah, they are. And then I got signed and then it was kind of like, what is going on? And then I was kind of thrown into a studio and they were like, right, now go and write an album. And to be honest with you, I had no clue what I was doing.
Was that intimidating?
It was, but I was like, this is funny. This is just like, what's going on? I was in these like studios. I've never been a studio. I'm like that. I kind of, like, if I get thrown in the deep end, I'll find a way out.
You'll swim, yeah.
I'll swim, man. So my first album was me kind of learning my trade, really, and kind of like finding my voice, finding my feet, finding my kind of rhythm, just finding my rhythm. And luckily enough, the first album did like pretty well in England and kind of set me up. But going into my second record was really where I was like, I feel like I know what I'm doing now. And these aren't songs that aren't just being kind of fitted to just written and then kind of like, okay, that'll go on an album. This second record, Ever In Road, was Blood, Sweat and Tears. And I really understood what it was to be an artist and what it was to make a record.
You had the tools.
I had the tools. I had the hammer and I had the nail. Do you know what I mean? And I nailed it in.
I got to say, this is the best drunk karaoke success story I've ever heard in my entire life.
Mate, do you know what? Next time I'm over there, we'll go karaoke together.
What's your karaoke song?
Oh, mate, I tend to go for the big ones. I'm like, if I'm doing karaoke, I'm like, listen, I'm going to sing for you. So yeah. I'm like an Adele Skyfall. And then I just drop the mic.
I mean, just to hear how, I mean, this is somebody coming from somebody who loves music with all his heart and can't write a song to save his life. I mean, to hear you being told, okay, go write an album, that would completely mess with my head. The thought of, okay, I got to go write songs. I would freeze up. I'm so fascinated by people who are blessed with the ability to create something from nothing, to create a song from nowhere. I wanted to ask you, it's funny, I was reading about David Bowie and his music with Brian Eno that he would make. And whenever they got stuck, Brian Eno would have these cards called Oblique Strategies. And they had little funny sentences on them with things like, use fewer notes, or work at a different speed, or what would your best friend do? They always had these funny little suggestions to kind of like take your mind to a different place and maybe...
What are them cards called?
They're called Oblique Strategies. And I think you can still buy them. They're out there. They're like these little decks of cards. And that would be what they would do to kind of prime the creative pump if they ever felt stuck. What do you do when you feel stuck? When a song's not coming or you aren't feeling it?
You know what? I tend to just leave it. I'm like, right, I kind of say to like whoever I'm in the studio with or if I'm on my own and I'm like on a roll. And then if I get stuck, I'll kind of be like, right, okay, cool. Let me go for a walk because I know that there's something happening. When I feel like there's something happening in me, I'm like, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling. But I don't tend to kind of like rush it. If I get stuck, I'll go for a walk. I'll take the fresh air in. And then that will give me a clear mind space. But also like I talk to a lot of people. So like I'll go and get a coffee or something and I'll start up a conversation with a random person who might tell me something or might give me a line from that conversation, and then I'm storing that information, and then I'll go home or go to the studio, and I'd be like, right, that person there sparked that another idea in me that then carries on the like train, basically. So yeah, I tend to do that, but I'm actually gonna look into the Bleak cards. I like that. I've never heard of Bowie doing that.
They're
I'm dyslexic, so when it comes to like writing lyrics and stuff, I have this thing where it's a washing line. So like, it's like.
Yeah.
I'll have all these like words on a washing line. Sometimes it'll be like a physical, like I've drawn the washing line out, or it'll be in here. And I'll have all these words that I've kind of listened to, heard on the TV, heard people talking. And like, I'm always on my phone kind of jotting down these like words that I have never heard before or I don't understand. I'll put them all on a washing line and then I'll kind of pick out these words and try to make two odd socks become like a pearly white pair of socks. And like, that's how I write. And that's how I understand words and how I understand sentences and stuff like that. So yeah.
That thing is so visual. That's so cool. I read, I'm not sure if this is true, that you recorded at Abbey Road Studios.
I was in Abbey Road not too long ago. It was crazy.
Like?
John Lennon's like piano was still in there, man. And like, to be honest with you, like all of his like cigarette burns are still on the piano and stuff. And like, to be honest with you, it looks like a school piano, like the piano we'd have in school. When you hit a couple notes, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah. I can hear different songs. Do you know what I mean? I can hear the record in the piano. which is crazy. To be honest with you, it wasn't just John. Like, I'm a massive Led Zeppelin fan too, and a lot of their records were made there too. And I don't know, loads of people have been in Abbey Road, like loads of greats, and you feel like, you do feel like the presence of greatness has been in this room, and great songs have come out, and songs that have changed the world have been created in here. So yeah, it was very, I was very honored to be in there, man, and very privileged to be in there too. So I didn't take any minute for granted, for sure. It was crazy.
I mean, sort of building on that, what is next for you? I know obviously touring, everything's still strange right now, although I guess in the UK you're doing a lot better than we are, it sounds like. But yeah, what are you looking forward to in the next few months?
I think for me, like, I'm looking forward to kind of getting back out there. And I know that, like we just said about the live shows, but honestly, like, live is where I feel like I'm better live than on record. So I can't wait to kind of put on a show. I've got all these ideas for how I want the show to be. But to be honest with you, I just want to see, like, I want to see people living their lives again, man, and embracing each other and loving each other. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of love in the air when things are back to like what they were. But I can't wait for people to, I can't wait to see like how people have responded to this record. I feel like right now things are kind of really going really good for me in England, and pretty good for me in America too, which is crazy. And I feel like I'm in the eye of the storm at the moment. I don't really know what's going on, because usually you would be kind of here, there and everywhere, yeah, doing promo there in this country, in that state and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm caught up in the eye of the storm where I don't really know. So I can't wait to kind of see how much this record has connected with people. And man, just enjoy it. I can't wait. Like, I've never been happier. And this is crazy for me. Like, I'm just a boy from Bedford. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. It's so good.
Enjoy. That is the crucial thing. Enjoy. Everyone listening, just hold on to that joy. Oh my gosh. My last question. It's been such a joy talking to you. Evering Road was such a chapter in your life, and now that chapter's closed, it's out there. What is the most important thing that you've learned in that period?
I think the most important thing I've learned from that period is that I never want to go back to that period. I never want to be the person that I was. I had a lot of things going on with my head, and I had a lot of demons, and I feel like all them, I've got loads of weight that is off my shoulders now. And honestly, like, I wake up and I say my three gratefuls every morning, and it sounds so like cliche, but like doing that, man, it's like, it puts you in a good mood. And I am so grateful for the position I'm in, and for the family that I've got and the friends that I've got around me. I'm never going to take anything for granted. And I always want to be like the best human I can be, because I believe when you give off good energy, man, you get that good energy back. And I just want to be giving good energy out, man. And that's all I can do.
Right on. Tom, thank you.
Thank you so much for all the support, man. Honestly, like, I cannot wait to be out there. And I feel like America's, they need a nice English boy in their lives. And I am that guy. I am ready.
Well, when you come over, we're going to do karaoke.
I can't.
Promise me.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.